أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد حي على السلام حي على السلام على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
الحمد لله رب العالمين صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. حضرت مسیح موعود علیہ السلام فرماتے ہیں,
The promised Messiah on whom be peace says, According to the teachings of Islam, there are only two parts of Islam. We can explain this in other words, that the teachings of Islam are based on two overarching objectives. The first of which is to recognize God as if He is present before one's eyes. It is to love God and to devote oneself to Him in true submission, in accordance with the requirements and conditions of love and obedience. The second purpose is that one should expend all his faculties to serve God's creation in compassion and love. It is to treat and deal with all such people who extend good, from the common man to the king, with gratitude and kindness. The promised Messiah says, Islam has split the teachings into two parts. The first is Huquq Allah, the rights due to God. The second is Huquq al-Ibad, the rights due to mankind. The rights due to Allah means that God should be considered worthy of obedience and submission. The rights due to God's creation means to discharge the dues owed to the creation of God. It is a wrong approach to inflict harm and suffering upon someone merely because he is opposed to his religion and faith. We find many such writings and statements of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, which draw our attention towards our responsibilities. These are included in the statements, books, and discourses of the promised Messiah. It is this very teaching of establishing the rights due to God and to mankind which the world today stands in need of. It is precisely this teaching that we strive to present before the world and leaves them astounded. Giving further and in-depth explanations of Islamic teachings compounds their astonishment. This is because non-Muslims in the world have by and large heard, with respect to Muslims, that Islam is a religion of extremism and usurping the rights of others. They provide evidence for this viewpoint by citing the practical actions of certain Muslim groups in the world. Regrettably, there are some Muslim organizations and individuals who act in this manner. However, as I said, when the reality and the truth of Islam is presented to them in light of the teachings of the Holy Quran, the practice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the examples of the Khulafa'i Rashidin, the rightly guided caliphate, and the Sahaba Rizwanullah alayhim, the companions of the Prophet, may Allah be pleased with them, then the truth becomes patently evident to them. Further, we explain that Allah the Almighty sent the promised Messiah, in whom be peace, in this era to instill these very teachings. The Ahmadiyya Muslim community promotes and spreads exactly this teaching and strives to practically act upon them. After presenting this, the world's attention is drawn towards our Jamaat. I have observed that when these teachings are presented before even the sternest detractors and opponents in a good and apt manner, and when efforts are displayed and demonstrated practically before them, it has an extraordinary effect upon people. At this time, rather than going into the particulars and details of these teachings and what they entail, I instead want to elucidate that recently, the first proper purpose-built mosque of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community in Ireland was inaugurated. You would have all heard my Friday sermon from there. In the evening, a reception was held with non-Muslims, which was also broadcast live. You would have heard that also. At that function, I spoke with reference to these Islamic teachings. Generally, I speak on these lines before non-Muslims. This has an extraordinary effect upon the non-Muslims. This also had an impact upon our guests who came to attend the mosque inauguration in Galway. I was able to mention a few things with respect to the teachings of Islam before the politicians, the media, and some of the educated denomination of people. They were all impacted and expressed this also. A good quality of the Irish people is that they openly say their negative or positive sentiments. If they dislike something, they stay silent instead of needlessly lavishing praise. Today I will present some of the sentiments and remarks made by these guests. Listening to these draws one's attention towards the hamd, the praise of Allah, in the manner in which Allah the Almighty is enabling the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat and true Islamic teachings to be introduced. The next day after I arrived in Ireland, the Jamaat had organized some meetings with the Speaker of Parliament and other members of Parliament. This was conducted in a very good atmosphere. I also met with the National Speaker of the Irish Parliament. He was a very loving, friendly, open-hearted person who possessed human values, who acts in a just manner. He said he was previously acquainted with the Jamaat and that he viewed the Jamaat works and tasks with respect. Although the Jamaat is small there, he said it was still very active. Speaking about himself, he said he had gone to Africa and Rwanda and witnessed the difficulties and problems there. Nonetheless, we held discussions. I mentioned how we are serving in poor countries in Africa and how we are running schools and hospitals, providing water to poor people, as well as carrying out other social welfare work. I explained that we gave all of this without any discrimination of color, caste, or creed. What stunned him was when I told him that in our schools we give religious teachings. There is no compulsion in that. There is complete freedom. Students of any religion can acquire study of their religion. Even Bible studies are taught there. The speaker was astonished to hear this, because in the schools of the Christian missions, they enforce only Christian teachings and Bible studies. Muslims are forced to study Islamic teachings separately. So hearing how we provide this type of freedom, it compounded his astonishment. On the subject of terrorism, he went on to say that there are certain places where even Christians commit injustices and cruelties. Yet, no one raises an allegation against Christianity. I responded that this is precisely the difference. the world looks at Muslims in a prejudiced manner. But if Christians are at fault for anything, Christianity is not defamed. If a Muslim errs or commits an injustice or wrongdoing, then efforts are made to defame the teachings of Islam. As he had expressed this viewpoint himself, he completely agreed with my response. I also met approximately 20 parliamentarians. Edmund Kane is one of the members of parliament there. He introduced me, and thereafter he also gave an accolade of the Jamaat services because he is acquainted with the Jamaat from before. Some questions were also posed on this occasion, where I explained to them that in accordance with the prophecy of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the advent of the promised Messiah had occurred. I introduced all of this, and there were some other topics spoken on. Politicians think that perhaps the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat strive to keep ourselves separated from other Muslims, that even if the opportunity arises, we are not inclined to dialogue with them. In this light, someone asked the question that has there ever been an occasion that has arisen, or if the opportunity was created to engage in dialogue with the non-Ahmadi Muslim leaders on some platform or the other? I replied that we are always ready to do so. If you can organize any such platform, we will be ready to oblige. And I said that I know that the non-Ahmadi Muslims would never come. Just recently, BBC had scheduled a program. They had called one of our young Ahmadi team members and said that they would hear his views. They had also called a non-Ahmadi person. As soon as the non-Ahmadi came to know that an Ahmadi was also coming, he immediately declined to come. So this is the reality. These people know that they have nothing. All they bring with them is based on lies and fabrications. Women's freedoms and rights were also spoken on. This topic was explained to them and they were satisfied to a large degree. They also asked questions with regards to sectarianism and why there are Sunnis and Shias. I elucidated that just as the Jews and Christians are split into sects, Islam is also. But in Islam, there was a prophecy from beforehand with regards to these sects. This is the reason for the establishment of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, because the one who was destined to come was to unite all these sects. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community is fulfilling this task. This had a very positive impact upon them. Some of these people also came to the reception in the mosque on Friday. There were over 100 guests. Amongst them were 5 national members of parliament, 2 senators and members of the city council, as well as the chief superintendent of the Galway police, the representative of the Bishop of Galway, who is the bishop himself. There were councillors, teachers, doctors, engineers, lawyers and people from different walks of life. This reception was held in a very good atmosphere. John Rabbit was a politician who was a guest at the function. After the function, he remarked that today's function has uplifted me. The speech of Khalifatul Masih deeply moved me. My view in Islam has turned around completely. I have a friend who lives in Saudi Arabia and has told me some of the things about Islam, but I heard the complete opposite here. Here I saw the beautiful Islam. He said that after listening to your speech, I came to know that Islam is truly a religion of peace, of love and affection, of mutual sympathy, compassion, brotherhood and harmony. The deputy mayor of Galway County commented as follows. He gave a very lengthy remark. I'm only presenting a small extract of it. Indeed, I am only presenting selected parts of all the comments made by people. So he says that people from different beliefs all came together in one place. This gave me great happiness. This is also proof that Ireland, and in particular the city of Galway, welcomes the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. So this here is a beautiful teaching of Islam, which incites even opponents or people of other religions to welcome us. The Deputy Speaker of the National Parliament, Mike Elby, said, "This was a beautiful and excellent function." He said, with respect to my message of love and peace, that this address was greatly inspiring to me. One comes to learn after hearing this address how powerful the message of love actually is. One guest who came to the function said, "I'm delighted. Through your message of love, I have been greatly impacted. I will spread this message to my fellow citizens." Another guest, Deirdre McKenna, said, "I was extremely happy to see people from different backgrounds unite in one place. May Allah the Almighty enable for this function to be a springboard of magnanimous mutual cooperation in our society, and may all people join this, so that we can lead our lives forming positive and good relationships, and we lay the foundation for the best future in Ireland." So this is a beautiful teaching of the Jamaat and the Islam as presented by Ahmadiyyat. This even compels non-Ahmadis to give attention towards adopting it. One guest remarked that undoubtedly, people today are extremely fearful from Islam. However, today in this function, all of us have been taught with respect to religious tolerance. The Khalifa has taught us the Quranic and Islamic teachings of love and peace, which were extremely satisfying. We have learned a great deal from today's event. One guest, Jenny McLean, says the following with respect to my address. That he mentioned some very important points. Every single person who was listening to the address of the Khalifa of the time appeared extremely impressed. It is also significant that the Khalifa of the time also mentioned the various contradictions and disparities that exist in the Muslim world today. There were many people who remarked that they came to know the true teachings of Islam. Another one said that this address was full of wisdom and touched the heart. There was a female guest who said that the message of peace and the elucidation of jihad has had a deep impact upon me. The name of the mosque itself is spreading harmony in the society. I have discovered a new Islam by coming here. Councillor of Galway County, Tom Helley, commented, "May God enable for your message to reverberate in the entire world, and may you become the true ambassadors of the Holy Prophet." So these Christians are respecting the Holy Prophet and are actually praying that his message spreads far and wide. A female guest, who is a deputy principal of the Educational Foundation of Dublin, said, "I really like the fact that the name of this mosque is Mary. I came to know from this address the status of Mary in Islam. The qualities of Mary have been described in the Holy Quran and praised. This is an extremely attractive point, which should be told to all Christians who speak against Islam." I was not very familiar with Islam previously. However, after hearing the address of the Khalifa of the time, a greatly positive impression of Islam has formed in my mind. A female journalist was in attendance at the event. Mrs. Bauta said, I was previously completely unfamiliar with Islam. I spent the entire day in Masjid Maryam. I listened to the Friday sermon and also the inaugural address at the opening of the mosque. I have come to the conclusion that Islam is a religion of peace. I saw with my own eyes how well-mannered Ahmadi Muslims are. So thus, it is the personal examples that impress others and that we must establish. An Irish lady says, I was not very well acquainted with Islam. I only knew as much as is given in news reports. In other words, suicide bombings and terrorism. However, the Islam that has been explained by the Khalifa is completely different. That is an Islam that gives a very appealing message of love and peace. A guest, who is also a counselor, commented, Before coming here, I thought that all Muslims were the same, just as is shown in the media. I thought that Muslims commit terrorism, injustices, and wrongdoing. But after hearing the address of the Khalifa, it greatly affected me. In particular, the message of peace and also seeing your motto, love for all, hatred for none. He further says, undoubtedly the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat practices what it preaches. The world stands in great need for this message. There is a need to inform the world that in Islam there is also a community or Jamaat that gives only and only a message of love. So wherever we hear this, we should not only become happy and content, rather our sense of responsibility should constantly increase. A female guest said, It is my view that when we arrived at this function, every single person was somewhat tense. But when the Khalifa in his address mentioned that here some people would have fears and reservations about Islam, then as soon as the Khalifa expressed this point, every person became satisfied and they listened to the rest of the address contently. A newspaper journalist said, The address compels one to ponder. In the address, he explained Islam Ahmadiyyat and elucidated that some extremists have distorted his teachings. In an excellent manner, he explained Islam as a religion of love, peace, and tolerance. The speech was powerful, lucid and clear, and I gained a great deal of knowledge by listening to it. He says that I know the Jamaat for the last 11 years. The Jamaat holds interfaith programs. He thought that the people there perhaps acted in that way pretentiously, but acted otherwise. But when he met me, he was further reassured about the Jamaat. A female guest who is a member of the National Assembly of Ireland said, I first express my thanks and gratitude. I know many people in my vicinity or circle. All Ahmadis are very active on the local level. They play a very important role in our society. The ladies auxiliary of the Jamaat also gives us charity. These auxiliaries should certainly give to charities from the Jamaat because this increases our introduction and through this opportunities for preaching arise. The Chief Superintendent of the Galway County Division Police said, It was an honor for me to attend this event. I know fully that Islam does not believe in extremism, that is the Ahmadi Islam, and true Islam teaches to have tolerance to other religions. This is why the Ahmadiyya Muslim community has given the name of this mosque on the name of Mary. He says further, I am delighted that you have chosen the city of Galway for this mosque. Then he says that as a police officer, I would like to reassure the Ahmadiyya community that we will protect you in every way, as well as the teaching you are promoting. So in Pakistan or in other countries, people are inflicting damage to our mosques. All of that is done in the name of Islam. In the Christian world, there are people who are proud that Ahmadis have built mosques in their cities. And they are expressing the fact that everybody has the right to worship. In Pakistan, in Indonesia, and in some other places, there is terrorism committed under the supervision of police. Whereas here, in these countries, in the Christian world, the police officials state that we will make every effort to extend protection and safeguardance to you. So these were the basic and actual morals of Islam that these people have adopted, whereas these morals are continuously vanquishing from the majority of Muslims. A very seasoned politician, Amin Sahib, who in 1989 for the very first time was elected as a senator. He has also served as Minister of State. From 2002 to 2010, he served as Minister of Rural Affairs. In 2010, he became the Minister of Social Protection. He says that in 2010, I had the opportunity to partake in the foundation laying ceremony. I am delighted that today the same mosque has been completed and I am present here for the inauguration. I am greatly impressed by the Jamaat's teaching of love and affection. The Jamaat has always proved that it always works in accordance to its high objectives and goals. The manner in which this community has organized interfaith conferences and has joined religions on a common platform has deeply moved me. A Christian owner of a sound system company who helped in the function was present at the event. He was working before and also after. He saw me leading the prayers in the Friday prayer. He then commented, I am a Catholic by religion and a churchgoer. However, after coming here, I felt there is a change coming into my life. I feel a satisfaction and tranquility in the mosque, whereas in the church, until today, I have not found God. Since I have seen the Khalifatul Masih leading the prayers, I have seen and recognized God. I have found God here. I have prostrated with the Khalifatul Masih and also prayed with him. He actually would pray behind us. He said, I do not know the prayers, but I followed the movements that you performed. I went in prostration and prayed a great deal for you. Press is a great form of preaching and of spreading the message of Islam, and they performed a good job here. TG4 is a TV channel which also gave coverage to our function. They showed me delivering the Friday sermon. It is a national channel, and according to one estimate, approximately 5 million people watch it. Or in other words, the entire population. RT radio channel, RT TV is also a channel that comes here in Sky. But the radio has 1 million listeners. They recorded some parts of their Friday sermon and after interviewed me, which they also played in their program. They played it almost as it was with virtually no editing. A journalist of RTE1 interviewed me. They asked about Islam. They said that your slogan is love for all and hatred for none. So what is happening in the Muslim world, does that not concern and worry you? Upon this, I replied to them that Islam teaches do not usurp the rights of anyone. Do not be cruel, unjust or oppressive to anyone. We act upon the real and true teachings of Islam. It is on this basis that we have made this motto. Allah the Almighty has taught us in Islam that God is one and the Holy Prophet is His messenger. Allah the Almighty is Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all the world. He sustains and nourishes everyone. Allah has said that the Holy Prophet is a Rahmatul Lil Alameen, the mercy of all mankind. So when we have one God who sustains and nourishes the entire world, and when we have a Prophet who is a mercy for all mankind, then how can it be possible that anywhere in the teachings of Islam it would advocate to usurp the rights of others? So all of this is a lie and a fabrication. So this had quite a considerable impact upon him, and they provided coverage of this. There were other questions asked about Taliban, ISIS, and so on, and I replied that all of these things are completely wrong. They then asked, what do you say about the state of the world? I responded that the rapidity with which the world is engulfing itself in disorder and strife, it goes beyond the question of just the Muslim countries. It also includes the European countries also. It is encompassing an ever wider scope. And if tolerance and patience is not shown, if efforts are not made in the correct manner to establish peace, a phenomenal destruction and calamity will come, which will be difficult to control. This destruction is World War III. They mentioned this also in their news. They also interviewed the president and a missionary in charge of the Ireland Jamaat. Galway FM radio also provided coverage. 135,000 listeners tuned into this station. Irish Times is a national newspaper of Ireland. They also published news on 29 September, which was almost three quarters pages. They published pictures of the mosque and also me. A journalist from there also took an interview of me, which he published quotes of in the news report. Read this newspaper in print, and on the internet over approximately 484,000 read this online. They took an interview that why is there a difference? Why is Ahmadiyyat established? What is the difference between you and the Muslims? I explained that all of these differences are in accordance with the prophecy of the Holy Prophet, who said that a time would come as such when the advent of the Messiah would occur. He said at the time the mosques of the Muslims would be filled with worshippers, but they would be devoid of guidance. All of these teachings were explained in light of the Hadith. I also told him that these are not mere words, and that the Khilafat was just established by someone, or that the reformer came and just made a verbal claim. Rather, God had said that there would be certain signs that would appear. Amongst these heavenly signs was the lunar and solar eclipses. So all of these things were explained to them. They noted these down, and perhaps they also gave coverage of it later. Similarly, there was discussions about the freedom of mosques and also protection and safety. So in short, collectively, the media, radio, television, newspapers gave ample coverage. This extended nationally, and the Jamaat and Islam were introduced far and wide. So where we make mosques, Allah the Almighty produces extraordinary means to spread the message of Islam and His help and support descend. It is also a great favor of Allah the Almighty that He blesses my tours in an exceptional way. All of these blessings, bounties, introductions and preachings and the new avenues of them that are opening up are in accordance with this promise of the Allah the Almighty, which He gave to the promised Messiah alayhi salam. We make just menial efforts, which God the Almighty rewards with infinite blessings and bounties. This enhances the faith and conviction of every Ahmadi and should do so. In one place, the promised Messiah on whom be peace says, "It is astonishing that the eyes of the people are not opened, even though Allah the Exalted is making the truth shine through so profusely and forcibly in support of our mission. It is also a way of Allah the Almighty that allegations of those who accuse of falsehood actually attract His signs." The promised Messiah said, "Once an opponent wrote a letter to me, saying that people have not left any stone unturned in opposing you. But there is one thing we do not have the answer for, that despite all of this opposition, you are continuously achieving successes." They say that we do not understand this question that we oppose you, yet you go on being successful. This same question is asked by these opponents today. But the help and support of Allah the Almighty is with the promised Messiah, and they do not want to open their eyes. The so-called leaders have completely blinded their wisdom, that rather than search for light, they are in search of darkness. They are continuously experiencing the displeasure of Allah the Almighty, yet they do not take heed. There are natural disasters. The pitiful state of the Muslim world, the murder and mayhem, does not make them ponder as to what is actually happening to them. Are they acting upon the teachings of Islam? Are they receiving the rewards, bounties and blessings of Allah the Almighty? Through their acts, are they attracting the world towards them, or are they causing the world to develop abhorrence towards them? Nonetheless, may Allah the Almighty enable them to escape the clutches and snare of these so-called self-serving leaders, and may they practice the true teachings of Islam. May they accept the Imam who was sent by Allah the Almighty for this purpose. They go on martyring us. But do they gain satisfaction out of this? If not daily, then weekly, hundreds of their own are being killed, just in Pakistan alone. There is turmoil and restlessness prevalent in all directions in Pakistan. May Allah the Almighty also enable us to discharge our obligations in an excellent and befitting manner. Today also, I will lead the funeral prayer of a martyr, a shaheed, who was martyred in Mirpur Khas. There are two other funeral prayers. One funeral prayer is where the body is present. The other funerals will be alongside this. The first is of Dr. Robina Karim Sahiba, wife of Dr. Abdul Momin Sahib of Ireland. She passed away on the 27th of September and returned to her Lord. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. Muhammad Kareem Qureshi Sahib was her father, and Hafiz Muhammad Ali Sahib, the companion of the promised Messiah, was her grandfather. After getting married in 2000, she came to Ireland. She served for a long period of time as General Secretary and Secretary Mal in Lajna in Ireland. Similarly, from 2009 until her death, she served as the Naib Sadr of the East Region in Ireland, which she served in an excellent manner. There was not this mosque or center, but for many years the Friday prayers were held in her home. She was a most hospitable person, and she would extend hospitality to them in an excellent way. She was regular in offering her prayers, was prayerful and sociable. She was very patient, grateful in nature, and was at the forefront of financial sacrifices. She was a very virtuous, sincere and pious lady. She had suffered from cancer for some time, but she remained extremely steadfast and patient during the entire time. She never expressed any word of ingratitude. She also came to meet me with great courage. She has very young children. Her only concern was lest her young children growing up in this environment become corrupted. She asked me to pray that Allah the Almighty looked over them at all times. Due to her illness, she could not attend the inauguration ceremony of the mosque. On Saturday, she returned to her Lord. As I said, apart from her husband, she has two sons. Both are Waqf-e-Nau children. The Shaheed, the martyr that I mentioned, is Dr. Mubashir Ahmed Khosa Sahib, who is the son of Muhammad Jalal Sahib of satellite town Mirpur Khas. On 22nd September at 7:30 in the evening, he was practicing in his clinic. He also has a homeopathic dispensary. Two unknown men shot him and martyred him. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. According to the details, Dr. Mubashir Sahib, in Mirpur Khas, Sangha, Bypass Road, according to his routine, was tending to patients in his clinic. After seeing to the ladies, he came towards his men. He had not yet even sat on his seat when two unknown men came on a motorbike. One of them entered into the clinic and shot at Mubashir Sahib. As a result, five or six bullets hit his head and his chest, upon which he was martyred on the spot. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He hailed from Dera Ghazi Khan. In 1954, his father, Muhammad Jalal Sahib, moved to Umarkot, Sindh. Ahmadiyyat started from his father, Muhammad Jalal Sahib. In 1954, he did the bet at the hand of Hazrat Khalif Tumsi II. The father of Dr. Sahib Shaheed became an Ahmadi, upon which he was removed from the home. Ghulam Rasool Sahib gave him refuge and married him to his daughter Maryam Siddiqa Sahiba. Considering that he was a very hard-working and sincere person, Muhammad Jalal Sahib went to Kundri after his marriage. There he started work in a flour mill. In 1974, they burnt his flour mill, looted all his possessions and damaged his property. The martyred's father thus also faced much persecution. The martyr was born in 1967. He studied his metric and achieved it in Umarkot. Thereafter, he went to his grandmother in Karachi. He achieved and passed his FA. Then he did a course of DHMS and also of dispensary. After his marriage, in 1995, for his children's education, he moved to Mirpur Khas. A short while later, he set up a clinic there. Allah the Almighty gave him the quality of being able to cure and heal many people. A lot of feudal lords and also elders used to come to him for treatment. All people in the area knew that he was an Ahmadi, but no one had opposed him. So much so that beside the clinic is a non-Ahmadi mosque. The Imam of the mosque had never said anything against the Jamaat. He had a good relationship with Dr. Saab. But there are some Maulvis who have decency with the grace of the Almighty Allah. May Allah the Almighty give them more guidance. At the time of his martyrdom, he was serving as secretary to Tarbiyat new converts. In addition, Dr. Sahib was also serving in various auxiliaries and Jamaati capacities. During the time of the Imarat of Dr. Abdul Manan Siddiqui, he was also a member of the district Amla. All the new converts, he would come, he would arrange for their food, he would also pay for their expenses from his own pocket if required. Great desire for Khidmat-e-Khalq during the time of the Kashmir earthquake, he went there with a medical team. He was in the forefront of the field of sacrifice. He was very hospitable. He always respected the Jamaat office holders. He was an extremely simple-natured person, had great love for Khilafah to the extent of great dedication and devotion. He had great amount of obedience. He was very regular in prayers and the voluntary prayers and offering durood. He always spoke in a gentle and kind manner and always overlooked other people's faults. He demonstrated the highest morals. He had a great sense of honor and also had great aura and personality. He was 47 years old and was a Musi with the grace of Almighty Allah. The secretary Saab Vasaya, that Dr. Sahib was very active in giving janda. He always gives a janda vasiyat on time and beyond his budget. He was enthusiastic to give his daughters the best education. Two of his daughters are studying at medical college. I said about Durood Sharif and prayer, he previously had a habit of eating paan. He stopped this habit because when he had to supplicate and say Durood Sharif extensively, then the paan would be a stumbling block for this. Muhammad Bilal, his younger brother, a few days before the Shahadat, saw that his brother was on the roof of a house alongside Abdul Manan Sahib Siddiqui, the martyr, on one side, and everyone else was on another side. The mother of Dr. Sahib Shaheed saw in a dream. Amongst all the brothers and sisters, he was standing on the highest rank and status. The martyr leaves behind his father, Muhammad Jalal Sahib, and his mother, Maryam Siddiqa Sahib, his wife, Muhammada Begum, two daughters, Aziza Madiha Baloch, who is the wife of Azdullah bin Sahib, the Murabi Silsila Karachi. He's also studying medicine there. And Aziza Najia Nigar, who is 21 years old, who's also studying at Hyderabad Medical College. The sons are 18 years old, studying FSC. Now he is preparing for further entry test. Another son is 15 years old. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the martyred. May Allah the Almighty give patience and tolerance to the children, to the parents, to the wife and the family. And may Allah the Almighty be the protector of the children. And may Allah the Almighty fulfill all the wishes he had for his children. Regarding Mubashir Sahib Shaheed, Atal Wahid Sahib Bajwa, who teaches in Jamia Ahmadiyya Rabbah, says, I am also from Mirpur Khas. Dr. Sahib's house was very near to ours. I had the opportunity to see him at close quarters. He was a very good-mannered person. He would smile when speaking to anyone. If there was a group of people, he would immediately mingle amongst them. And, in his interesting way, he would bring life into the group. All Waqfi in his zindagi, and particularly missionaries, he would greatly respect. During the summer, whenever I used to visit Mirpur Khas, then I would meet him in the mosque. As a Waqfi zindagi, he would meet me with great humility, despite the fact that he was elder to me. But as a missionary, he would respect me, and I would be embarrassed by this. I never saw any expression of anger or displeasure from his face. I would always see him smiling. The people of the area are also shocked why he was martyred. He was a sympathetic and compassionate person. Service to humanity was a feeling that was replete within him. This was openly commented upon by people at his funeral. It says, with the grace of the Almighty, Allah's children are in great resolve. I went to give my condolence. I thought that perhaps they knew me well, they would become emotional. But the children were not emotional at all. And he said to me, Murabbi Sahib, there are now two martyrdoms of Mirpur Khas. The former, Sadr Lajna, relates that at the time of the martyrdom, some non-Ahmadis also came to give their condolences. There were two non-Ahmadi ladies who also came. They were from the area where he had his clinic. She said, we also used to take medicines from Dr. Saib. One time, a poor lady came to get medicines from him. He gave them to her and also gave her some guidelines to abstain from some things. She did reply that is fine, but it seemed from her reply that she would not be able to do this because she was poor. So he immediately understood this. So Mubashir Saib returned her fees and also gave her some money. She said, here, take this money, you must take these things and you must fulfill your treatment, take care of your provisions. The lady said, the people who serve humanity, these non-Ahmadis and the opponents, they particularly select these type of people and kill them. So nonetheless, the opponents believe that these cruel and unjust ways, and through performing such cruel acts, they will weaken our faith. With the grace of Almighty Allah, after that, many people wrote letters to me that we are steadfast in our faith and there is nothing to worry about. In response to one Shaheed, Allah the Almighty grants thousands of Ahmadis. But nonetheless, we should pray that Allah the Almighty in Pakistan keeps Ahmadis safe in every respect. His brother also writes that with great wisdom, he would take care of all matters in the family and relatives, and the relatives would take advice from him. He would take care of his brothers and sisters and also their education. One of his sisters had some problems and the husband had to go to jail. He took care of the children greatly and supported them. He always remained engaged in helping the new converts. The third funeral is of Al-Hajja sister Naima Latif Sahiba, who was the wife of Al-Hajj Jalaluddin Latif Sahib, who is the president of the Zion Jamaat and Naib Sadr Ansarullah USA. She passed away on 23rd September 2014. She was ill for quite some time. She was preparing for the Zuhr prayers when she returned to her Lord. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. Sister Naima Latif, on 21st May 1939, was born in a Christian family. Attaining an education in West Virginia University, she started working voluntarily in the medical department of the American Army. During the war, she would take care of the wounded soldiers. She understood her responsibilities in society, law-abiding and peaceful citizen. In 1974, she accepted Ahmadiyyat. After a lot of study, she enhanced rapidly in her faith and conviction, to the extent that in 2000, at the occasion of Jalsa Salana UK, she met Hazrat Khalif Tamsi IV. Hazur remarked that it appeared as if she was a born Ahmadi. Sister Naima never missed a Friday prayer in her life. She was regular in attending all the Jamaat programs. She never missed the fasting in Ramadan. And in accordance with the practice of the Holy Prophet, the Sunnah, every week she would also keep an optional fast. She had the opportunity to regularly perform the itikaf. She was at the forefront of serving others and humanity. She would provide a lift regularly to the elderly people or the ill who could not go to the mosque themselves. In 2002, with her husband and a large group from America, she had the opportunity to perform the Hajj of the House of God. To make her children attend the Friday prayer, she would have them have time off school. In the morning, after Fajr prayer, she would inculcate all of them to recite the Holy Quran and inculcated the habit in them. The Maghrib prayer would be performed in congregation in her house, and with her children, the neighborhood children would also join. She was at the forefront of giving financial sacrifice. Whenever she received any gift from her husband of jewelry, she would give it for the mosque. In the last years of her life, she said to her husband, "With any gift you give me, I give it to the mosque fund. So instead of buying me gifts, you should directly donate it to the mosque fund." This was how sincere and devoted this lady was, who Allah the Almighty granted to the Jamaat. She had a very obliging nature and hated backbiting. If she ever heard a woman saying something negative about someone, then she would say without hesitation that she did not wish to eat anyone's flesh. So no one dared to backbite in her presence. If only this habit was inculcated not just in the woman but also in the men, then many quarrels and disorder and maliciousness would all come to an end in her Jamaat. She had great affection and dedication towards the Khalifa. Obedience to Khilafat was her utmost priority. During the time of the tour of Hazrat Khalifa Masih III to America, she heard his address on Parda in an American university. Immediately, she wore the hijab. She was the only woman in her area of the time who would be seen in Islamic attire. She would regularly write to me for prayers. She would keep a very strong connection with me. She came here for the Jalsa and met me. She had a relationship of great sincerity and devotion with Khilafat. She served as National Secretary of Fajreed, Sadr Lajna, North Jersey, Jamaat, and also amongst the USA National Rishtananta team. She served in all these capacities. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, she was also a Musia. She leaves behind her husband, Mukarram Jalaluddin Latif Sahib, apart from this, one daughter and three sons. All her children are very devoted to the Jamaat and are active in it. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, the entire Jamaat are extremely sincere. Jalal Sahib and all his children are very active in the Jamaat. In my view, her daughter is the most sincere and loyal and dedicated. She comes here every year for Jalsa. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the deceased. May Allah the Almighty treat her with love and kindness and forgive her. May Allah the Almighty also give resolve, steadfastness, and the capacity to bear this loss to the husband and her children.
یہ جنازہ کیونکہ حاضر بھی ہے اس لیے نماز جمعہ کے بعد میں باہر جا کے نماز جنازہ پڑھاؤں گا. اب آپ یہیں مسجد میں صفیں درست کر کے نماز پڑھیں.
الحمدللہ نحمده ونستعینه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.